Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God from the scripture part that we have been reading from Revelation 2. And I read especially as a text verse for the sermon, verse 13. Revelation 2, verse 13, where we read as follows. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. The theme for the sermon is, My Faith Not Denied. 3 points of attention. First point, where they dwell. The second point, teaching of Balaam. And the third point, a white stone. So the theme is, My Faith Not Denied. 3 points, where they dwell, teaching of Balaam, a white stone. It happened, congregation, boys and girls, in the year 1995, that in the Netherlands, the rivers were very high. So there was a lot of water coming from Germany or France, and got a lot of rain or snow, and the rivers were so high that there was really a danger that the dikes would break and that the water would come into the villages and into the houses. Especially in that area where my parents lived and my brothers. So they all had to leave their houses. My brother said, when I left the village, it was so strange. Everything was dark, no life anymore, no human being, no light, nothing. Everybody was gone because of the danger of the water. And it was really very risky because there was such a pressure of the water in the rivers that came so high. And we know when it will start to flow over the dike or just have a small opening through the dike. And it will not take long before the dike will totally collapse. And all the water will come. And there will be a lot of damage and probably lost lives. Yeah, the danger of that pressure. That pressure of the water behind the dikes. Would the dikes keep it? Would they be strong enough? What a tension it was. At a certain point it seemed to be so weak, so they had a lot of trucks and they brought sand more and more to keep the dikes. Well, they kept it. They didn't break. It was a miracle that the Lord, in His grace, gave us that they did not break. I was thinking about that when I prepared this sermon. Because we have read from this church in Pergamos, and they have had a lot of pressure. We heard this morning of the church that were blasphemed because of in Smyrna because of the Jews. So that came from the sight of religious people in their pride, living separate from Christ and hating the children of God. But now the pressure is coming from another direction. There in this city, the pressure is coming from the pagans and from the political situation in Pergamos, where there is a strong center of serving the Roman idols, the idols from Rome. And also a strong center of cultists of giving glory to Caesar of Rome. And Christians wouldn't do the one or the other, none of them. They wouldn't give glory to Caesar of Rome, and they wouldn't worship the idols of the pagans. It was such a pressure. Would they be able to stand that pressure? And the Lord says, yeah, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. It was such a strong center of this cultus of idols and Caesar that it is called Satan's seat. There was so much hate that there already had been people killed, and one name is mentioned here, Antipas. And there is a story that says that he is killed in a way they put him in a big brass pot and put him above the fire so that he died. Where Satan's seat is, in this city, Pergamos, it's a very well-known city in those days, north of Smyrna, 60 miles north, and it is built against the ramp of a hill that is 1,000 feet high, so the city is there built on this whole ramp of this hill. And they say at the top of that hill there is an altar for the idol of Rome. And there the heathen, the pagans, would serve their idols. It's not very clear why it's called Satan's seat. Maybe because of that altar. Or probably because there was such a strong power of darkness in this city. And there in that city is a church of Christ. There are people that have heard the gospel, and the Holy Spirit has used it to change their hearts and their minds in such a way that they confess their sins and that they receive forgiveness. And that they knew the love of Christ, and that means that they stopped to do this service of the idols of Rome. And that they wouldn't worship Caesar anymore. And that could cost them their lives. I know, the Lord says, but I know thy works. It's not hidden. For the eyes of the Lord, are you faithful by the grace of God? Do you experience that pressure behind the dike of your life? That pressure of this world? That resistance against the service of the Lord? Oh, the Lord is able to give you so much of the love of Christ in your heart. So much of that sweet communion with Him, that a dike will not break, but that you will be saved by His grace. I know thy works. How many tears have there been because of this fight of faith in your life? I know we don't have that physical persecution, but there is that pressure in our lives when we serve the Lord. There will be people that hate it. Satan hates it. If you know Christ and follow Christ, you will experience it. But Christ is almighty, and He is keeping His children. He is giving them the power and the strength. I know thy works. The Lord knows your tears. The Lord knows what it costed you to resist that pressure. All that live a godly life will experience that. You say, I do never experience anything of that. Well, then I want to ask you the question, do you really live a godly life? Or is your life too lukewarm that you don't experience anything of this? I know thy works. The Lord knows how it is in your heart and life. And where thou dwellest. Could be that you say, well, oh, my situation is so difficult. There is so much affliction in my life. Oh, Pastor, I have so much concern about where we live, where we dwell. Concern for my family. What will happen to my children? And the Lord says, well, I know where you dwell. The Lord knew where those Christians dwelt, even where Satan's seat is. Yeah, we have to say, with pain in our hearts, that we see more and more the darkness of Satan in our society, the darkness of unbelief, the darkness of the world, and the darkness of sin. Yeah, we see it in our own heart. And we see it more and more in society. It becomes more difficult, isn't it? Because our heart connects so well to the sins in society, sins around us in this world. But the Lord knows where we dwell. He knows how it is for us to live in this time of history, to live in a situation where it can be so hard to live a pure life when we see all the possibilities of enjoying the pleasure of sin. We don't have those images of the idols of Rome, do we? No. But we have our idols of money, of ambition, of pleasure. We see more and more that the spirit of this world and this time is that we want pleasure, we want entertainment, we want to enjoy the things of the world. It's like an idol that we kneel down in our time. And can we say that its spirit of the world stops at the front door of the church? Do we not all experience that influence of how the world is behaving and thinking? We need the power of Christ, of His love so much in our heart, so that the dikes will not break, because the pressure is so strong. But the love of Christ is strong enough. Do you know that power of His love that can take the attraction away out of sin, that will overcome the temptation and the pressure of this world? I know thy works and where thou dwellest. The Lord says, I know. So tell Him. Make it known to the Lord what your concern is for your family, for yourself. To live in this world where we see more and more the seed of Satan. Yeah, the Lord knows, but tell it to Him in your prayer. Plead and pray and beg that the Lord will protect and strengthen us to be faithful like they were in Pergamos. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Wonderful, so strong is Christ. There is such a secret power in faith. Faith is uniting with Christ. And His almighty power will flow into my heart when I exercise faith. Coming up from the Word by the power of the Spirit. Oh, we need this Word so much, so that the dikes will not break in our heart. We need faith, so that we will be faithful. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Yeah, they've been faithful. The Lord has given them the strength to overcome. Are you discouraged? Are you scared? Are you concerned about your children, your grandchildren? And the Lord knows where you dwell, where your children dwell. And He made His children faithful here in this satanic city. He can do it today. Isn't that true? Do you see that by faith? Oh, that you would kneel down and tell the Lord where you dwell, where your children dwell. Yeah, you cannot protect them. But prayer is, and faith, the prayer of faith is such a mighty weapon against the power of darkness. I know where thou dwellest. What a comfort. The Lord knows it. Did you ever experience it? That He came to that very place where you dwell. That He came to visit you. That you experienced that He was near. That He was around you. That He was bearing you. That He was protecting you. That He was keeping you. I know where thou dwellest. What a comforting knowledge. How sweet if the Lord is coming to visit us where we dwell in all our distress, in all our temptations. Then we will really experience that He is overcoming all those things that we can be scared of. Think, oh, today or tomorrow, I will fall, I will stumble, I will give in. I cannot make it. I know where thou dwellest. How good to read that the Lord is showing His approval to this church. Our first thought, my faith not denied. The Lord gave it to them. In this city, a very famous city, center of culture. They said it was a huge library, Pergamos. Some say that there was discovered the use of pergament. You know what it is? So they prepared the skins of animals in such a way that you could write on it, and they rolled it as a book. And they say it comes from this city. But also a city that was really a center of idolatry and worshipping Caesar. And there the Lord has His church and is writing a letter to them. He says, I know where you live, where you dwell. So there's approval in this letter. But the Lord is also gonna rebuke His church there. in Pergamos. It says, "These things said he which had the sharp sword with two edges." That's with a reason that the Lord says, "Well, I'm writing you, but remember, I am the one which had this sharp sword with two edges." So children, that's a sword that's sharp at two sides. That's a sword that can penetrate very deep to search hearts and lives. When you hear and read it, two edges, you can also think about two ways that this sword can be used. And it says in verse 16 that it is the sword of his mouth. So he's going to use his sword for judgment, to speak his judgment. You can say he does it in two ways. A two-edged sharp sword. He does it to his children, to chastise them, to rebuke them so that they will repent, but also to his enemies, to speak judgment over those that want to continue in a godless life. "These things said he which had a sharp sword with two edges." If the Lord is coming to you, and he does tonight in his word, searching your, well, let me start with myself, searching my heart. Oh, I really have to humble, to bow, to tremble when that sharp sword is coming to my heart to reveal what is inside. "Lord, I cannot exist before thee in myself. So many sinful desires and thoughts, so many wrong things in my life and heart." Yeah. And what about you? Did the Lord make you honest about yourself? Then you will tremble. But where did it bring you? Did it bring you to the feet of Christ? Did it also bring you to the table of the Lord to see the signs of his body and his blood? Oh, that your heart would rejoice in that work of Christ, that perfect satisfaction that he made for sinners like I am. And you, do you see it? Did the Lord reveal it by his word? That is like a sword with two edges, going so deep inside, revealing your most deep desires, thoughts, and feelings. And who would be able to exist before the Lord? You? Did your heart break in repentance, so that the Lord would heal it with his gracious and merciful hands that were pierced to save such sinful people like we are? The sword of his mouth will speak judgment in different ways. The Lord is speaking to this church. He is showing his approval that they have not denied his faith. They have been faithful, although there was such a pressure of enmity of the world, that they already saw members of the church dying for Christ. They have been faithful to his name. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast dared them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. What is that? Do you know that history? When the people of Israel came to the promised land, and Balak was afraid, and he called Balaam to come and curse the Israelites, to curse the Israelites, and the Lord did not allow Balaam to do that. No, he had to bless them. So the Lord protected his people, but then Balaam gave an advice to Balak. He said, well, the Lord didn't allow me. Oh, he wanted it so much because he wanted to get the reward of the money. He loved money. Yeah. He would like to curse the people of God to get money. The Lord didn't allow him, and then he gave an advice to Balak. In the hope that he would get his favor. And he said, well, you know what you have to do? You make a feast for your idol, and you invite the children of Israel, the Jews, to join. And when they will come and eat and drink and do fornication with the women of your people, then the Lord will become very angry with his people. And he will punish them. And that happened. So the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. And they did stumble. They gave in to that temptation. Now the Lord says, I have a few things against thee, my church in Pergamos. Thou hast dared them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. So there in Pergamos, there are people that do the same thing, that live according to the doctrine of Balaam. And the church does not stop them. They do not discipline them. They allow them to do that. To eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So what is the case? What is happening there? Probably hard for us to understand what it means to live in such a city with such a strong idolatry, where they have their feasts for their idols and everybody would join them, and then you would be excluded. You wouldn't go there. Well, then you would lose a lot, like we heard this morning. You would lose your clients, you would lose maybe your work, your job, your money. And now there are people that say, well, you can be a Christian, and at the same time, you can go to those meals, but if you in your heart still believe in Christ, then it's fine. What's wrong with that? You just join them in their meals and their feasts. But we also have to know that in those feasts for the idols of the pagans, there was in those times fornication and adultery involved. They would do that in the temples of their idols to worship their idols. They would do that when they would have their meals. They would eat and drink and have and commit adultery, fornication. And now there are people that say, well, you can do that if you are a Christian. If you still in your heart believe in Christ, confess that you are a Christian in your heart, you can eat things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So the Lord Jesus writing about what happened to the Israelites, how Balaam and Balak were casting a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and they stumbled because they did fornication. And now the Lord says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And that's the same thing. The Lord doesn't say you have those that have the doctrine of Balaam and you have the Nicolaitans. No, he says, like the Israelites had the doctrine of Balaam, so you have those that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And we've heard before last week that those Nicolaitans are antinomians. People that say, well, you know, if you believe in Christ, that means that you do not have to keep all those laws because you are free from the law. So they lower the standard of the ethical, the moral law. And the Lord is rebuking his church. Well, it's almost unbelievable when you read this, that this happened there. So there's a church that was faithful and strong against the hate of the world. They wouldn't deny the faith, although it could cost their life. And at the same time, there were among them that gave in to the friendship of the world. You see the danger? When the hate of the world comes, you will see it. We would say in the Netherlands, when Satan comes on his wooden shoes, you don't have them maybe here, you will hear him coming. But when he will come on his socks, then you will not hear him. That's dangerous. So when the world comes and is offering friendship, there's another danger. And there they gave in. Some of them gave in. They had the same doctrine that Balaam gave to Balak. They say, well, you can be a Christian and you can go to the feast meals of the idols and do fornication, if it is right in your heart. It doesn't matter if you go there. How strange. How dangerous. So, there's something that we can learn, many things that we can learn from this. Also from those other letters, we can learn that our behavior matters to the Lord. Sometimes you can be tempted to think, well, if it is right in my heart, okay, then it doesn't matter so much what I do, because it's right in my heart. And yeah, we are all sinners, so I do wrong things, but that doesn't matter because it's right in my heart. That's not what the Lord Jesus says. He's showing approval for their works, their labor, their faithfulness. And he's strongly rebuking them for their sins and warning them and says, well, you have to repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Yeah, the Lord will not allow. He is patient. It can last for some time. But oh, how dangerous. Because if we do not repent from our sins, he will come quickly and will fight against them. So, he's making a difference, he's making a separation. There are some who do that. And there are some who don't do that. And he says, I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He's warning them so that they will repent. And what is the application for us? That the friendship of the world is so dangerous, and that we can be very faithful when people show hate and enmity and fight to be faithful. But when people come in a friendly way and invite us to join them in their sins, the danger is bigger. Did you ever see that? Are you aware of that? Are we watching? So there's a warning against the conformity of the world. And that's a very scriptural thing. This is not the only place that we should watch, that we will not be conformed to this world. The things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but of the world. If we belong to Christ, we have to be separate from the world. We have to be different from the world. Maybe you say, but yeah, we are living in a different time. Of course, we wouldn't do that. Of course, we don't have those meals of the idols and fornication, adultery, prostitution there, those temples of the idols. Of course not. And now, the point is that it is about conformity to the world. And, well, we can say in a certain way we live in a more civilized Christian civilization. So we don't have those images of idols, we don't have their temples with their fornication, but we have enough of the world in our days. And we have to think about that. What does it mean to be conformed to the world? And we are so smart to apply it to someone else. If we are a businessman, we would say, well, you know, that's about people that are not honest in their trade. And I'm honest in my business, my trade. So I'm not conformed to the world. And someone else will see it in another way and will say, well, those that spend their times in a theater or in worldly places with drinking, you know, that's to be conformed to the world. I'm not doing that. I'm thankful if you can say that. But do you think that that means that you are not conformed to the world? What does it mean to be conformed to the world? Well, let's say it this way. Everything that we do separate from the Lord is to live conform to the world. So, if we have our things that we spend our time and energy Forgetting about the Lord, isn't that a trick of Satan? So that we will not walk with the Lord with a tender heart, to depend on Him, to give glory to Him. Well, then we are conformed to the world. I'm thankful if we don't commit those sins that are mentioned here, not going to the places of fornication, but we think that then we are not conformed to the world, we make a big mistake. Because if you think about what the Lord says in His Word about the days before the flood came, the days of Noah, or the days before the Lord Jesus will return, well, they were eating, drinking, marrying, nothing wrong, but it seems nothing is wrong with that, and in a certain way there isn't, but if that's all, if the Lord is not ruling our heart, if we are not living in a tender way near to the Lord, we are conformed to the world and we will be lost with the world. If the Lord will not change our hearts. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 41, stanza 3 till 7. 41, stanza 3. The fear of God is undefiled and ever shall endure. 41, stanza 3 till 7.
Thank you.
What a danger, the friendship of the world. Did you see that? Young people, adults, come join us only one time. Why not? Come, let's have a fun this night. Let's drink alcohol and why not for one time? It's just fun. And you give in. And Paul is warning in Romans 6. Don't you know that if you do sin, you will be a slave of sin? It's going to be a power to bind you. How can a child of God willingly serve sin and in that way bring a power of darkness to rule his life? They were deceived and they didn't discipline those in the church that were doing those things. The Lord is calling them, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. But there it does not stop. The Lord is also encouraging and comforting. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Let us listen to what the Lord says. And maybe you say, well, oh, I have already given in to the friendship of the world. I'm so used to live conform to the world. And I don't know how to separate myself from the world. Well, tell it to the Lord. He knows how to do it. He is the one that is changing hearts. So cry out in your need. Cry out for that power and that grace of the Spirit to give you light and strength to see, to discern what is to live conform to the world or to live in a tender way with a tender conscience near to Christ, to have that sweet communion of faith daily with Him. You will not regret that. Did you backslide? How long ago? How long ago was it that you experienced the tender love of the Lord in your heart? How long has it been that you stopped to seek the Lord in a very urgent way so that you would receive more and more of His grace and communion in your heart? How long ago was it that you started to accept it, to live in such a way of backsliding from grace and from the Lord? And do you think that it is a thing that just cannot be changed? That's a lie of Satan. Oh, that tender love that you once have experienced, O child of God, will come back. When you cry out to this Savior, He is the one that is coming to the hearts of those helpless and hopeless that have sinned against His goodness and His love. When they humble and cry out and seek Him, He will come. The Lord is so merciful and faithful. And there is such a strong warning here, repent. And such an urgent word, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Yeah, they that will overcome, they will be excluded of those feast meals of the idols. But the Lord will give them to eat of the hidden manna. He will give them to eat with a mouth of faith of the Lord Jesus and his work, of the perfect satisfaction that the Lord Jesus made, so that they will be fed in their souls, and that they will be satisfied in their hearts. He will give it, that hidden manna. Oh, children of God, you know that the Lord can satisfy your heart, fill your heart, much more than the world ever did, don't you? Did you ever regret in those moments that the Lord came with his hidden manna to your heart and soul? Did you ever regret that you left the world, turned your back to the pleasure of sin of the world, to join Christ, to walk with him? No, you didn't. You will never. He will give you that full joy in knowing Christ, in knowing his grace by faith, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. A white stone. It was used in the courts that they would give a white stone to those that were just. They would receive a white stone, and their name could be in that stone. The Lord says, I will give you that overcometh. That word overcometh is showing us that it is a fight. It is a fight of faith. That is true. It's not strange if you experience daily that fight in your heart against your old nature, against the temptation of sin. Yeah, against the temptation of this world. But oh, that we by the grace and the power of Christ would overcome. That you would resist against Satan. Are you doing that? Adults, young people, resist Satan, and he will flee from you. That is true. That's what the Lord says. By his grace and power, you will overcome. And the Lord will give you a white stone. You will receive that assurance of being just in Christ, being righteousness in him. Receive that assurance of faith in a very personal way. A new name. The Lord will make your life new. Those that are in Christ are a new creature. That old life is gone. That's what you see by faith. Although you experience a daily fight, you receive that joyful assurance that by Christ your old flesh died, and in Christ you are a new creature. And you have a daily fight, yes, but you know the victory is secure, is there in Christ and by Christ, is already there, a white stone and a new name on it. The Lord is making you new by the work of Christ, white. White as snow, all those sins washed away, all those stains of your depraved life washed by the power of the blood of Christ, a white stone. A stone, that's something that is lasting, that will stay. It will not be taken from you. It is secure because it's the work of Christ that is the foundation of your salvation. You know that? You know that deep joy and peace in your heart? Did you experience something of that coming to the Lord's table? Or now meditating upon that? And if you did not receive the boldness to come, oh, I pray that the Lord will make it clear, so clear that you will be there if you know Christ as your Savior the next time. But oh, I pray also that the Lord will give you that assurance of faith, that white stone and a new name on it, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. What does that mean? It shows that it is a very personal thing. Isn't that a miracle? We know from this same book of Revelation that there is a multitude uncountable of those that in all ages of history from all nations and tribes will be saved. And still it's so very personal that you receive that white stone, that sign of righteousness in Christ, your new name, and that, yeah, nobody knows that name saving he that receiveth it. Revealing, teaching us something about that personal way that those that are saved know Christ. You're not just a number in that multitude, but He personally will come to your soul, reveal Himself, and reveal His work to you. There will be that deep, amazing joy that He saved me. That personal tie of faith to Him. That personal relationship, work by the Holy Spirit to know Him. Yeah, what a wonderful thing if you meditate upon that. Oh, and that knowledge here is not perfect. If I think about that, I have such a desire. One day, I will know Him like He is, in a very personal way. Oh, I cannot comprehend that. He is saving me. I do not deserve that. I've sinned so much against this gracious Savior, this loving Lord. And now He will reveal Himself like He does now, so personally, but then perfect. That's heaven, to know Him personally, perfectly, for all eternity. Is that your future? Is that your hope? Your expectation? Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, what a Savior Thou art. Thou art coming to the souls of all those that will be saved according to Thy purpose, according to Thy eternal election, out of Thy eternal love, saved by the calling of Thy word, made powerful by the Holy Spirit. applied to the hearts of sinners, imputed that righteousness of Christ to us, we that deserve hell, but will receive heaven if we flee to Christ in this time of grace, called by thy word, resting in thy promises, Lord, O thou art so worthy to receive all the glory, praise, and honor, and thou will receive it, that we will learn it, that thou would teach it us in this life, to praise thee for all eternity, for thy grace, thy goodness, that thou art seeking sinners, saving the ungodly by faith, by the power of thy word, speaking to their souls, Lord, O Lamb of God, thou art worthy to receive all the praise and glory and honor, because thou hast bought with thy precious blood, oh, that we would all receive that blood applied to our hearts, shown in the wine, proclaimed in thy gospel. Lord, bless thy word. Forgive everything in this service and this day that was not according to thy holy will, but bless thy word, O Lord. Be with us when we go home. Protect us on the road. Protect us against the hate of the world. Protect us against the friendship of the world, the conformity of the world, that we will live a holy, sanctified life by the power of the word, by the love of Christ, to be a testimony in this world, by being separate from the world, different from the world, O Lord. Let thy name receive the glory. Forgive us our sins. Hear our prayers. For Christ's sake alone. Amen.